What I want to do this morning is really catch the significance of the Transfiguration and what it means for us. And one of the things that came to my mind as I was thinking about this is that I have had for a little while now, maybe up to 2 years, maybe even a little longer, I have this stream of memories that come into my mind. And I've begun to notice, as that happens, there is a difference between those memories and other sets of memories. And in fact, one set of memories that I've been having, as you could imagine, as you would know, as many of you have experienced, is a set of memories which trigger grieving for me. As in our family, there's been just a lot of loss and so forth. And those memories that trigger grieving have a certain purpose. And the purpose of grieving is to, regain your stride, to deal with loss. And then, as you know, the longer we go on in life, the more losses we experience, and the more grieving as a process in which we're able then to regain our stride every time happens. That's a particular set of memories. I have another stream of memories, and I've been able to differentiate between the two. And that stream of memories are usually some kind of flash that comes into my mind, a picture. And it's a picture of what things were, just a flash. It's not a long scene or anything. It's a flash of what things were like for me as a church leader in the 1980s. Isn't that one of the weirdest things you've ever heard? Just flash. And no reason, I'm not thinking about it, minding my own business, walking the dog, doing absolutely nothing, whatever it is, and then just like that, shoots right through my mind. Now that sort of thing started happening to me in Arizona, not as often as here. Just right through my mind, something about being in leadership in the church, and it would just come back to me. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. I was just minding my own business here. I knew it was different. I had a different feeling when that memory came. Nothing like grieving, nothing like other happy memories and so forth. It's just there. And I began to recognize that as God making clearer His purpose. And there is a way in which I am personally, and those in the church I was with at the time, had grasped God's purpose, and we began to pursue it. We didn't know what we were doing, and we can't admit that we do anymore now know what we're doing, but there was something about God's purpose that was clearer to us, and we were able to step into that. And now, in each new setting after that, and more so now than at any time in my life, that memory comes, and what's attached to it is the sense of God's purpose. And that God is supplying for His purpose to be done, His purpose to be accomplished. In other words, the memory of the way that was before is coming back to me, and God is saying, I'm going to do it again. Very encouraging. Very encouraging. It's not slipping away. And part of the way that it will happen again is not that it's just reenacted, 30 years ago. That whole setup and organization and the way things were and the way our society was and all that 30 years ago is not going to be reenacted. But the core of it, the integrity of the calling, the purpose to which God has called us into being, will never be lost and will continue on, even if it has a new vehicle that carries it. It will be the same one. So, I wanted to share that with you for a number of reasons. One, I want you to know that that's going on, and I don't know all that much about it. And if you have any ideas, please contact me immediately. Also, it's another way that God speaks to you. I mean, you don't have to be riding a horse like Paul and be knocked off of it for God to speak to you. Or struck blind for 3 days, anything like that. or anything. It doesn't have to be that traumatic. You could just be minding your own business, and a memory just shoots through your mind for a half a second. And that could be the Spirit of God. As well as in the Bible, as well as in our relationships with other people, as well as appreciating the beauty of nature and God just seems there. All kinds of ways for that to happen. And that's just one of them. You may have ways that are perhaps even unique to you. And I just want to encourage you to keep going in that. In fact, that is, as you know from what I've told you many, many times, is the core of the Christian life. To hear the voice of Jesus and follow it. My sheep know me. They hear my voice. I call them by name. That's the core of Christian living. And that's what we see in the Transfiguration today. We see that Peter had a certain response to Moses and Elijah showing up there, and that response needed to be redirected. So let's take a closer look at that. Here we have Jesus bringing Peter, James, and John up the mountain to be with him for a little bit. These are the three that were the closest to him. I hope it's okay with you that Jesus had people that were closer to him than others, especially amongst the 12. These three were the closest, and then there were some others, and there you are. And that's the way he did it. Probably not that bad of an idea, because if you have an equal relationship with 500 of your closest friends, you're not going to live that long. It's just going to wear you out. So he had a multiplication strategy in mind, and that's what he went with. And here he is bringing the ones that he hopes will multiply the most, Peter, James, and John, brings them up the mountain, and before you know it, his face is changing, just dazzling white, as you saw. All his clothes are, just so white and bright and shining and all this is going on. And then Moses and Elijah show up. Well, I if you're a Jewish guy and Moses and Elijah show up, this is going to be quite some day for you. I mean, here is the living symbols of the law and the prophets. Moses and Elijah, right there in front of you, talking to you, and talking to Jesus, and just incredible, absolutely incredible. You know, the Peters that are all like, whoa, this is too much for me. I'm just taking a guess. It doesn't say in the text, but putting myself into Peter's place, I'm thinking, this is what's going on with him. Peter, as you know, is a fisherman from Galilee. So other Jewish people would look down on him and his family and his town and his hometown. Because if you were from that area, that was, not desirable. And if you were a fisherman from that area, you were unable, because of the way you made a living, to do all of the Jewish practices. So people who were able to keep up those practices looked down on those who could not. But what could you do? You had to make a living. So here is Peter, and he was called by Jesus. He's following this rebel rabbi who other Jewish people are looking down on. So he's got another reason that Jewish people are looking down on him. But he still feels, built up. It is great. Here's Jesus is asking me to follow him and doing all this incredible stuff. And they go along like that, and he's kind of built up, but sometimes not. And then he goes up the mountain, and here's Moses and Elijah. And there's got to be something starting to break in to Peter's heart. He's starting to think, wow, not only are you following Jesus, but here I am, a witness to something that is the way things used to be, when it was better. And it's very significant. you know, God, the Father, shows up in a cloud. Now, right away, these three Jewish guys would have said, hey, now we're getting back to the way it ought to be. You remember God showed up in a cloud in the wilderness? It's a sign. We're going back to the way it should be. And, you know, the law and the prophets, Moses, Peter seeing Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. We're seeing more of what God had in mind. Just like in the old days. Just like when it was good. And Peter's starting to feel exonerated. Because a lot of the Jewish criticism of the day that he would have received, and Jesus more so, was that Jesus was not living up to the messianic promises that people expected him to fulfill. They expected him to come, throw off the Roman Empire, defeat them, and bring Israel back to the, what it was supposed to be in their minds. And here Peter's saying, oh yeah, that's great. Here we go. We're on our way. This is good. And so what he wants to do is memorialize. Great. This is just great. You know what, Jesus? No one was talking to Peter anyway, but he says, you know what, Jesus? This is so good. And I am feeling so built up and so accepted. And I think it seems like things are just going to get back to the way they used to be and the way they should be. We want to build a memorial here for this, for the three of you, three different memorials. We want to memorialize this, and we want that to remind us that it should never get away from the way it should have been. It's so easy to feel, you know, especially if you've been downtrodden a bit, and maybe your whole life seen it all slipping away like that. Now what happens? A voice comes out, well, the cloud comes, and then a voice comes out of the cloud and says, this one is my beloved son. Listen to him. And the cloud goes, the voice slips. Peter wasn't talking then. Didn't have anything to say. It probably started listening. What happened? The desire that Peter, I believe, had to reenact what used to be was redirected into a deeper engagement with the true desire of God. God was saying, all that was before is fulfilled in Jesus. Go ahead with Jesus and you will go further and more into my mercy, my love, my purpose, and my kingdom than you will if you reenact what you feel was the better day. I don't know about you, but I find that very challenging. And there's an awful lot that used to go on that I think, wow, if we could just get back to that, it'd be so much easier, it'd be great. Let's try it, let's do it. I may not even know what's going on then, you know, things like that. It challenges me on that level. But I know that I will never reach what God desires for me to reach except to listen to Jesus and move into the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, is to keep moving with him into that. Another way of looking at it is this. Peter learned resilience. And by resilience, I mean this. Resilience is the ability to handle massive change without ever losing the integrity of the original. That's resilience. It is to handle massive change without ever losing the integrity of the original. if I reenact what I think is the golden period of my life, I may in fact lose the integrity of who I am. But if I manage that, if I go through that, if I maintain myself, if I keep my balance and never lose the core of who I am, I will become more completely who I am that way. I may never go back to various things that I remember very fondly of growing up or my family or things I was able to do in school. I may never be able to reenact any of that. I doubt it. Some of it would be too hard to do. Not 19 anymore. But I will never lose my first dreams, my first love, my first calling. That will never go. I will never, ever, by listening to Jesus and following after Him, lose any of that. I will always go more deeply into it. It will be different. I will look different. Some of my ideas may change, but who I am, what I love, who loves me, and the purpose for my life, and the presence of Jesus will never go. It will always be there. Even if I want to slip back and reenact it like Peter wanted to do, the voice of God will still come. Say, wait a minute. Jesus, listen to Him. And go that way. Now I want to encourage you to be thinking about that and looking for that. And when it feels like they, whoever they are stealing away your whatever it is, to stop and say, wait a minute. What's Jesus saying? Everybody okay? Oh, good. All right, because I have one more thing to mention. Let me just refer back to this wonderful chart. About a month ago, we looked at this, and it was our annual parish meeting, as you recall, and we started sharing about where we want to go in the next 5 years, and it came out of a lot of prayer and discussion with one another and thought and so forth, and we were saying that we don't want to become something that we're not. We want to be more of who we are. So we're going to be seeking to multiply groups of about this size and not bring in as many people as we possibly can and no longer be like this. We think this is the way God wants us to be, just like this. And then multiply that out as many times as possible. And that's a shift. That's a shift in our thinking, a shift in the way things are, the shift in the way we've always thought about church. But it's there. It's part of our core. It's part of our original. It's part of our first love. It's a significant part of the dream of when St. Francis began, that there would be a group that is always welcoming, in which everybody knows one another and able to build one another up. You get past, as you know, you get past a certain number, and that's not possible. But we can multiply that kind of group over and over again and always keep those groups connected. That's where we're going. That's what we want to do. And it means that we may never get back to the day of a huge Sunday worship time with a big building and all that, but we will never be different from who we are as we go ahead and follow Jesus into that. So that's where we're going. That's what we want to do. That's the kind of direction we're going in. And as I mentioned to you before, I don't have any idea exactly how to do that. I was raised in something completely different. If we reenacted that, I would be a lot more comfortable, as probably you would. But nonetheless, There's something that we're going into. Because there's been such changes around. But we, just because of that, it doesn't mean we have to let go of who we are. So, one of the things, as you may recall, that we said we would like to do is to have some learning communities. And those learning communities are groups that get together over a little bit of time where we look at the idea of what it is to shift into this. And we together we see, how's that going to work? How are we going to do that? How are we going to keep hold of who we are as we move into that? And those learning communities are getting ready to start. There's a few of us who have already said, love to be part of that. And you've seen some schedule of that, but that's changed a little bit as I've talked to people. You know, what can we do? How can we do that? So I'm looking for about a dozen people to come into these learning communities. And what we would do is 8 times over the course of a year, we get together, and in between those times, there'd be things that you do, read or try out or whatever, and we get together and see how that works for us. And it would be 4 months on, 2 months off, 4 months on. And that'd be one learning community. And 4 months on, 2 months off, 4 months on. And then another learning community. So each year, it'd be 8 times that you get together, and then that's it. And then a new one starts. And I am looking to have people together when we can do it, and there's a number of us who can do it already on a Wednesday night, which is just fine. Not too late, of course, because I can't stay up that late any longer. And there's some people who can't do that on a Wednesday. Just can't do it during the week. So if that's you, you want to do it, you think God is tugging on you to do that, and you can commit to doing those 8 times over the course of a year, I would be ready to meet with some of you on a Saturday. A Saturday of the month, that would also work. Either time would be workable. But I want you to know that that's what I'm looking for. That's what I think God wants to do. And out of those learning communities, we begin listening to Jesus together and moving in more deeply into who we're called to be. Everybody okay? Think about it. Before we leave today, I'll remind you of that one more time. And if you can let me know before you leave today, I'd be really happy. I'd be one really happy guy if you were able to do that. If you need a day or two to think about it, that's also fine. All right. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are always with us. You never let us go no matter what. That individually, you are leading us in our lives, and now also together in the life of St. Francis. We ask that you would bring us deeper and deeper and deeper into a relationship with you that releases all the fruit that you desire through us for the glory of your name. Amen.